You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports, hosted by Landon Nelson, Owen Pulley, and Trey Hanna.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas No Brakes radio show. I am your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. I'm always joined by DJ Trey, a.k.a. Trey Hanna. How are you doing today, Trey?
Pretty good. How about yourself, buddy?
Fantastic, buddy. Can you redo that again?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Awesome, buddy. Awesome. Awesome alongside Owen Pulley, a.k.a. Big Owen. Big Owen. We'll call you Big O now. I like Big O.
All right.
So,
yeah, I'm here.
How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm also joined by the biggest Purdue fan I know. He just won the game show earlier today from 7:45 to 8:30, Garrett Burkle.
Am I good?
Yes, sir. How you doing today, buddy?
Awesome. I just won the game show.
I'm glad that you're doing fantastic and well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of race news to talk about. First off, we're going to start with DJ Trey and the Rolex 24, and we'll have some input on that as well. So take it away, Trey.
All right. So Rolex 24 happened this weekend from Friday night to, well, Friday at noon until Saturday at noon.
It was Sunday.
Sunday, my bad.
Sunday.
So I'm going to start off with the winners and who won all the classes. So first off, we got in the GTP Cadillac, we got Sebastian Bourdais, and Scott Dixon and Ringer van der Zinge. I don't know how to say that. Second place in the GTP class, we got Earl Bamber, Alex Lynn, and Richard Westbrook. And for FMP1, we got first place, number 10, Ricky Taylor, Felipe Albuquerque, Louis Dietrich, and Brennan Henry for the Acura ARX6. And I'm kind of proud right now. I'm kind of proud to have an Acura as a car right now, just because literally Acura won the 24 at Daytona.
So
for their class,
you're going third on up to first, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good deal. Okay,
so third place
was Sebastian Bourdais,
Vettel,
and Ringer van der Zandy or something.
Yeah,
yeah, sorry, ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen, if I butchered it. Scott Dixon. And then we have now it is Wayne Taylor Andretti Racing.
Yep.
You have Felipe Albuquerque, Ricky Taylor, Luis Deltrez, and Brendan Hartley. Brendan Hartley used to race in Formula One. Felipe Albuquerque, fantastic what he does mm-hmm. in IMSA. So, and then you want to tell them who won the Rolex 24?
The winner of the Rolex 24 would be that first team that I announced in the GTP class.
You didn't announce Meyer-Shank Racing.
Oh, my bad. It was Meyer-Shank.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Meyer-Shank Racing won this year's Rolex 24. Driving for Meyer-Shank was Tom Blomqvist, Colin Braun, four-time Indianapolis 500 champion, Elio Castroneves, a one-time Indianapolis 500 champion and one-time IndyCar champion, Simon Pagenaud, all driving.
They got really good drivers.
Meyer-Shank,
that's
yeah.
why they won. They got IndyCar They have two IndyCar drivers, and isn't one of them an F1 driver?
Not for Meyer-Shank. Meyer-Shank went back to back. They won it last February. They won the Rolex 24, and they went back to back, and it was a 1-2 for Honda in the mm-hmm. GTP with Meyer-Shank and Wayne Taylor Andretti Racing. So good.
So I have some news about
both driving Acuras.
The BMW team, they were sponsored by number 24 BMW team. Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan was one of the cars.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes me embarrassed to say this, because number 24, really, it's Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan, so I
Trey.
What?
Okay.
Well, I'll talk more about the Rolex 24 and everything. We're talking about this is what they said from the Myers Shank team after they won the Rolex 24. This is what Tom Blomqvist said. I knew we had a fantastic car, unbelievable. Said an exciting Blomqvist, who won the 2022 Rolex 24 in his first race with Myers Shank and went on to collect the Daytona Prototype International Class Championship. I just have to say a massive well done to everyone who's been a part of this team. What a car we've built, and I'm so grateful to be able to drive that and be trusted with the duty to take it to the finish. Amazing. I was a bit nervous because the number 10 car was definitely the second fastest car when it came down to it, which I believe the number 10 car was a I'm trying to remember who drove the number 10. It was either a number 10 was it was Wayne Taylor Racing, and Andretti drove by Felipe Albuquerque, Brendan Hartley, and Luis Deltres and Ricky Taylor for Wayne Taylor and Andretti. But yeah, we held it off and had to take it to another level to secure the victory. Obviously, we talked about who he shared the car with, Colin Braun, four-time Indianapolis 500 champion, Elio Castroneves, and Simon Pagenaud. They went back-to-back. That's just incredible. This is what I believe Peter Gregg said about it. This team is amazing. This is absolutely a dream come true. Castroneves, the four-time Indianapolis – oh, this is what Elio said. That this team is amazing. This is absolute dream come true. Castroneves, the four-time Indianapolis 500 winner, said after once again convincing his teammates and team owner Mike Shank and Jim Meyer to climb the track fence in celebration. So happy to start the year off like that and keep it going.
Let's hope they bring that to
the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, the 500, because that'll
one
be
of the,
huge.
He's one of the only drivers to have won the Rolex 24 and the 500 in the same year.
That'll be crazy if he wins the Rolex 24, 5, and the 500 for a second time.
Ladies and gentlemen, also Simon
Pagenaud. And that'll be his fifth.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, Simon Pagenaud and Elio Castroneves are teammates at Myers Shank. Garrett, I would like your input on this. Garrett, are you there? Garrett, you got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Do you feel like Myers Shank could be building themselves a program with how they're doing in the IMSA series and how, you know, they didn't, you know, do extremely well last season? For IndyCar, I know they do extremely well in the IMSA stuff, but do you think that they're building a championship-winning program with Elio Castroneves and Simon Pagenaud?
Do you want me to be bluntly honest with you?
Yeah, I'd like to be honest.
I don't think they are. I think what they should have done is I would have kept Castroneves on the team, but I also I wouldn't – because, I mean, they're both older guys. Pagenaud, I think, is 41. Elio's 47, 48.
Yeah, 48.
So I think they're going way too old in age instead of building, you know, a younger driver and developing him. But, again, that's something if you ever go to three cars that can easily be fixed. So I think that's something that they should figure out. I just don't think you can go all, you know, seniority on that team.
Yeah, Pagenaud's 38 years old. He's almost 40, and your Elio is like 48. So I mean, I definitely could see them contending for a Indianapolis 500 win in the near future.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, like I said, one of the Honda employees was extremely Honda Performance Development was extremely proud of how they finished. They finished 1-2 with Myers Shank winning, and you had Andretti Wayne Taylor Racing in second. This is what David Salters, president of Honda Performance Development, said. It feels unbelievable, which developed the race winner. The real privilege is to work with those people, accurate teams, like he was saying, and achieve days like today. We all know it doesn't happen all the time. Was it worth it? It's been 2 years, and I think it's been the best thing I've been involved in my whole life. If that isn't a demonstration of precision crafted performance, I don't know what is, Salters added. It's a landmark moment. It's the pinnacle of sports car racing. Also, with the LMP2 class, James Allen passed Ben Hanley on the final lap and delivered a victory in the number 55 Orica racing car by 0.016 seconds.
That's,
ladies and gentlemen,
that's close.
That was a really close finish. It's the second IMSA victory for a Proton competition, which last won at Sebring in 2012. It was the first Rolex 24 victory for Allen and co-drivers. I'm going to try to pronounce this right. Jean-Marie Brunny, Fred Portad, and Francisco Pizzi or
Pizarro.
No, Pizzi. It's P-I-Z-Z-I. It could be Peasy or something like that.
Peasy.
Peasy. So I'm sorry if I butcher that, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to move on to Garrett. Would you like to do some IndyCar news real quick for us, buddy?
Quite a few stories. Oh, sorry. So we, I have quite a few stories because I believe, was it last week our show got... The show got not canceled, but you know, I think it was snow day last week. Yeah. So I have some stories. So number one, and a really cool story in my opinion, is that Dale Coyne Racing confirms that Stingray Rob will be full season next year for Dale Coyne Racing. Hmm. So he's definitely, you know, made his way through the IndyCar ranks. So it's really cool to see him, you know, in a spot like this. So yeah, I expect a pretty you know, well success at Dale Coyne Racing. With the other young teammate there, sure. And the other young teammate, and why is his name out coming to me? David Malukas. So yeah, those two together should have a pretty good pair the entire season. The next one is that Peterson to race with Foyt in the Coyote red car. And this was kind of so the car number was 88 for them, and so Ben Peterson's car was in the number 88. The other car on AJ Foyt was the number 14, and that is a Semitic sign people noticed. So they actually went in and edited the and changed the number to 55. So you have the 14 AJ Foyt car and the 55 AJ Foyt car. So kind of a controversial scenario there. The Foyt team didn't mean anything by it. It just was a coincidence because the car number was 88 for AJ Foyt's age. But yes, that was another story that happened just a couple days ago. I want to say 4 or 5 days ago. The other one is that Ricky Taylor got to IndyCar test with Andretti, which is really good for him. The IMSA driver, he's 33 years old. He has a championship with Cura Team Penske in 2020. He got an IndyCar kind of a test in 2020 as well with the IndyCar team. Nothing happened, but he's racing an Andretti car now. In other news with Andretti, there Michael Andretti came out and just said in an article that what he's trying to do this year is just return Andretti Autosport back to before the COVID thing, before they started. I think they were too focused on other things outside. So Michael Andretti just kind of said, this year is, the year that they're going to get everything together and return back to the championship program that they are. Another couple stories are that Aaron McLaren revealed Rossi's livery, Rosenquist's livery, and Pato Award's livery.
You're good.
And then Hoonkos Racing also revealed both their liveries for their Indy cars. So really can't comment on that because it's really hard to over the air. But yeah. And then another news, IndyCar unveils a new medical trailer, just for more safety and whatnot throughout the IndyCar series. So what they do is amazing. What they do is just amazing race to race.
They quite literally save lives.
They really do. And Pato Award's livery, I think I might have already said that, but that also got revealed. But then one more news story is that NBC confirmed what all races will be on this year. So St. Petersburg will be on NBC, Texas Motor Speedway NBC, Long Beach NBC, Barber NBC, IMS Road Course in NBC. The 2 days of 500 qualifying will be on NBC. The 107th running of the Indianapolis 500 will be on NBC. Detroit NBC, Road America will be on USA Network. Mid-Ohio will also be on USA Network. The Streets of Toronto, interestingly enough, will again be a Peacock-exclusive event. You have to have Peacock to be able to watch that.
I have a question about the 500, though, Garrett.
Yes, sir.
Do you know if it'll be streamed live or after the race?
I think they brought the agreement. During COVID, it was obviously lifted. And then 2021 was lifted as well. I believe that last year it was not aired live unless you lived in Indianapolis and had Peacock. Then it was streamed live. If you wanted to watch it on NBC at the time of the race, it was blacked out, I'm pretty sure.
Yep. Yep.
I have a lot of opinions on that, but we won't get into them here.
But hopefully I have some news. You guys might be hearing me talk about when the 500 comes closer. To time, I might actually Oh. I might actually be at the start days. Like, I might be at pit lane. And it'll be so cool to just be down in the pits, being able to, like, see the cars and the drivers. And, by the way, I'm sorry for bringing this topic back, Landon, but literally my great-great-grandpa invented the first medical trailer at the 500, and he invented the first medical ambulance for racing.
That's pretty sick, buddy. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a 30-second break here on All Gas and No Breaks here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. When we get back, you'll hear from Owen Pulley about Formula One news, and you'll also hear from me as well talking about some NASCAR news that has came up recently. I have a lot to talk about here on Indy's Giant, Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. This is All Gas, No Brakes. We're going to take a 30-second break here.
You may not think of flu as a serious disease, but complications can lead to severe illness, hospitalization, and even death. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone 6 months and older get a flu vaccine every year. Vaccines are available at doctor's offices, pharmacies, and local health departments. Protect yourself and your loved ones this flu season. Get a flu shot today. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to All Gas and No Brakes. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly, and we're going to hand it over to Owen here with some Formula One news. Take it away, Owen.
Yeah, so we just had the Haas livery get dropped a couple days ago. I believe it was yesterday, and it was a pretty cool livery. There were some fans debating if they wanted a black livery that they had in the 2019 season and a little bit in the 2020 season. I do believe they had it there as well, but there was fans that wanted the white livery that they had for the past 3 years now. And they ended up going the best of both worlds and making a black and white one, which is honestly pretty cool. I'm a big fan of it.
You like the new livery?
Yeah, it's got the money grand, the main title sponsor on it now.
I really like the new livery. It's different, but I really like it. It reminds me of, like, you know, Kurt Busch when he had the Kurt Busch 2017, 2018 scheme. It was either 2015, and then he switched it to, like, 2017. It's just, like, kind of that type of vibe. 2015, he ran the old black and red and white car for Stuart Haas. Then 2017, he just switched it up to, like, it was mostly red and then black and white. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and we get to see some other ones going through. I'll list off all the launch dates. So, obviously, January 31st was the Haas MoneyGram 1. Red Bull will be this Friday on the 3rd. Williams coming up on the 6th, and then Alfa Romeo, who actually just got a new title sponsor, Stake. They are no longer Alfa Romeo Orlen, they're Alfa Romeo Stake, so they have a pretty cool new title sponsor, so I wonder what that will do for the livery. But that is on the 7th. Then on the 11th we will see AlphaTauri, and on the 13th we will actually get to see Aston Martin and McLaren drop those. So Aaron McLaren, we were just talking about that with Garrett Burkle, dropping a nice livery for Aaron McLaren SP. So we could see a cool livery for the European team in the Formula One team there. On the 14th, on Valentine's Day, we will see Ferrari drop their new livery. And then on the 15th of February, Mercedes, the Silver Arrows, getting to drop their livery. And on the 16th, Alpine, and they will have theirs on February 16th, and they're having a whole watch party launch date in New York City. I believe it could be in London, though. One of them's in, I know there's one team doing it in New York City, and there's one in London.
I'm actually pretty sure that Ferrari did say that their new livery this year was going to be red. I saw it on Instagram last night, and hopefully that's correct. I don't know, though. So you can keep going with your F1 news.
Yeah, that was a troll post, Trey.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Ferrari will always be red.
Yeah, it's Ferrari, buddy. They've been red for years.
But anyway, so there's not really anything going on too much. We got the Bahrain Grand Prix. The 5th is the race. and everything like that. But pre-testing, however, we have some the February schedule here. Pre-testing in Bahrain from the 23rd through the 25th in February. And then on the 24th, Drive to Survive.
Oh, yeah.
The next season 5 on Netflix.
It's going to be great.
Drive to Survive is a really good show.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lynn.
Owen, you got anything more else to add for Formula One news, buddy?
Not a ton, but I mean, real quickly, we can talk through the driver grid real quick, just to let people know. So
yeah, let's hear it.
Verstappen and Perez at Red Bull, Leclerc and Sainz at Ferrari, Norris and Oscar Piastri at McLaren, Hamilton and Russell at Mercedes, Bottas and Joe at Alfa Romeo, Gasly and Ocon, the Frenchman at the French team and Alpine, Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen at Haas, Yuki Tsunoda and Nyck de Vries at AlphaTauri, Stroll and Alonso at Aston Martin, and Sargeant and Albon at Williams.
Thank you for that, Owen. I appreciate that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right into your NASCAR news with me, Lando Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Here is some interesting NASCAR news. There are some new rules that were released yesterday, as I'm going to get those pulled up real quick. Updated penalty for a wheel coming off a car, so there's an updated penalty. Change the amount of time teams have to repair cars on pit road via the damaged vehicle policy. I'm going to talk about that. So teams only have about I'm trying to think how much time they have for the damaged vehicle policy. I think it's like 1 to 2 minutes to repair your car or something like that. If you exceed that time limit, your car is done for the day. You're done. You cannot continue in the race. You are then did not finish the race. So I'd like to see that time longer because for the fans especially that go out to the races. Let's say Kevin Harvick gets in a wreck and he needs to repair his car, and these fans are coming all around the world and all around the United States to watch these races, and, the big fan, just any driver in general, and you never want to see your favorite driver or drivers get, and crash out or get in a wreck, but, especially when you travel so far to, see a race and then your favorite driver is in an accident, you'd like to, see him continue because you drove out there to see him, so.
I did just look it up. 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah, it's 10 minutes before the cars are ruled out of the race.
So, yeah, that's a good deal. Now we also have changed the playoff eligibility for drivers. If they were more specific on that, I will get that pulled up real quick. I had it all ready to go. I'm just trying to figure out how specific they were on this, playoff eligibility. Yeah, here we go. Points requirement for playoff eligibility removed. Previously, top 30 in the NASCAR Cup Series and top 20 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and Craftsman Truck Series. And then wet tires available for damp conditions at selected ovals. Tracks are Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, Martinsville, North Wilkesboro, New Hampshire, Phoenix, Richmond, Milwaukee, and Indianapolis Raceway Park. That's going to be something.
It'll be cool.
You're going to have your... So now they're going to race ovals in the rain. That's pretty.
I wanted
damp conditions at least.
I wonder if they do if it rains for the Clash at the Coliseum. That would be pretty cool to see some drifting going on that small track.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
On that quarter mile.
So the detached wheel penalty, if lost on pit road, drivers should pass through penalty under green flag conditions or restart at the rear of the field under yellow flag conditions. If lost on track, a 2-lap penalty and 2-race suspension for 2 pit crew members will be issued. No cautions for stage breaks at NASCAR Cup Series road courses events, and they'll just points will be awarded as normal. And then I also have the we also have the dash for cash, and we have the triple track challenge for the Craftsman Truck Series. Here's the triple track challenge: Charlotte Motor Speedway, Worldwide Technology Raceway, used to be Gateway, located in Illinois. June 23rd at Nashville Super Speedway. June 3rd is at Worldwide Technology, and May 26th at Charlotte. So triple truck challenge is just – it's like the Dash for Cash to win some extra money, stuff like that. And then for the 2023 Dash for Cash schedule, April 1st you have Richmond Raceway, April 15th Martinsville Speedway, April 22nd Talladega Super Speedway, April 29th Dover Motor Speedway. That's where they select I think it's like – five drivers to go after the Dash for Cash and try to win $100,000. So that's really interesting.
I think it'll be for, like, I think most teams will use it for, like, improving, like, their aero and even maybe their engine, like, getting new. And never mind.
So there'll be expansion of the restart zone on a trial basis. They also have... So yeah, those are the updated rules that came out for NASCAR. Also, there was a so y'all remember when Ross Chastain ran the wall at Martinsville, right? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And so NASCAR has banned that wall ride maneuver. So NASCAR's banned that from happening again, so that can never happen. What Ross Chastain did at Martinsville, just run the wall, and that was
an basically insane, pull a Freebird moment.
Yeah, that was an insane moment. That was probably one of the greatest things I've ever seen in NASCAR. He just basically wall rided and made it to the playoffs. I think he passed like four or five cars doing that. That was crazy, and he made it to the playoffs and finished second in the championship. So you gotta do what you gotta do, but it has been banned, so that can never happen again. Also, and this is very interesting for Formula One fans. Jenson Button, he will be joining the NASCAR Garage 56 with Jimmy Johnson and Mike Rockenfeller for testing for the Le Mans, for NASCAR to go racing at Le Mans. You add a 2009 Formula One champion.
Braun GP
and raced at McLaren, won multiple time race winner, won races at McLaren, he won races at Braun. I mean, he raced with Lewis Hamilton. What else you got to say? He's a 2009 Formula One world champion. He's a fantastic driver.
He's going to go
so
insane.
So now he'll be joining Jimmy Johnson and Mike Rockenfeller for the NASCAR 56 team, led by Rick Hendrick and... you know, Chad Knaus kind of leading that as well. Multiple time champion with Jimmy Johnson as a crew chief. He worked on Jeff Gordon's cars back in the 90s with the Rainbow Warriors days. Owen, you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's pretty cool to see such a story driver like that alongside Jimmy Johnson on that team. I think it'll be pretty cool to see just these guys that are just older and racing and getting back. And racing is one of those sports where it takes physical activity, but you can race for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Jimmy Johnson, he's over his 40s, he was racing IndyCar, you know, he's trying new things out. Now he's coming back to race part-time in NASCAR, which I feel like that's incredible, driving for Legacy Motorsports. It used to be Petty GMS, but now it is Legacy Motorsports. So right now, they're going to have set for a 12-hour Daytona test before Sebring race run attempt. So they're trying to make this car as, like, you know... like street car as possible, sort of like
just because of all like the street races that we have,
IMSA stuff like that. So it's the next gen based Chevrolet Camaro ZL1, which has been built by Hendrick Motorsports to represent NASCAR at Le Mans for its century race in 2023, as tests at road courses across America to increase its performance level up to sports car standards. This is what Chad Knaus had to say. The goal is to try to get about 12 hours of straight runtime. On Wednesday, said Knaus, obviously that will encroach into the evening hours, so we're excited to see how it works. This is the first time they put headlights in a NASCAR car since however many years. It's been forever.
Yeah.
And they're going to put headlights in a NASCAR. That's incredible.
It'll be different because headlights in a NASCAR will make it so that I know they have rear view mirrors, but it'll make it different because... like, it'll be hard to tell where the car behind you is, like, how far distance-wise.
And you're going
to
be racing 24 hours, so, yeah, I mean, you got to have headlights.
Yeah.
So to see the track,
it'll be really cool to see how that race on Le Mans turns out.
I hope they do extremely well. Yeah. This button said this. But the Garage 56 entry will show true NASCAR at Le Mans 24 hours. So we'll see how they do. I hope it goes extremely well for them. And I've missed. That was basically all the NASCAR news I had was about Jenson Button and the rules. But I also forgot to touch on this about Trey said a little bit about Ray Hall.
Letterman Lanigan
in the Rolex 24. This is what Bobby Rahal had to say.
He said,
you know, finishing the Rolex 24 at Daytona was almost like a win. This is what he also
they crashed out under a safety car.
It was not great for them at all. It was embarrassing being
a Rahal Letterman Lanigan fan.
And the GTP class for them, it was not great. I have to say that the testing day was not easy, but after the roar, which is a pre-event test and qualifying weekend, I got confident as there was reliability there as well as performance, said the three-time car champion. A lot can happen in 24 hours, and it's a shame we had the issues with the 25 car early. It ran really strong for the rest of the race. So that's what they had to say about the Rolex 24 for Bobby Rahal. And it's unfortunate, it's very unfortunate.
Especially, like, with how many people from, like, just because of how popular Graham is here in Indiana.
Bobby Rahal as well.
Bobby, too.
Courtney, his wife,
is literally from Indiana, I'm pretty sure.
So, I mean.
It's just embarrassing because he said what he said. Like, you guys crashed out under a safety car. Like, I wouldn't be proud of that.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. It was extremely unfortunate for Rahal Letterman Lanigan as they were racing in their first Rolex 24, and I was hoping they'd do, great things. But, there's always next year, and they'll move on to Sebring, and hopefully
during Sebring we won't crash out under a safety car.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode of All Gas, No Brakes. For Garrett Burkle, for Trey Hanna, Owen Pulley, I'm Landon Nelson. You are listening to All Gas, No Brakes here on Indy's Giant 90.9. You can catch us live from 8:30 to 9:15 every Wednesday. So,
and the recordings will go up on Audio Boom.
Yep, you guys can check that out.
If you miss our sweet voices over the weekend, go ahead and look on Audio Boom and look up WBDG, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
And
or just search up All Gas No Brakes. Yep. It should be on there.
And it'll be right there. Pretty cool design by Big Slammer.
Big Slammer does a lot of the logo work. He does fantastic
And
job.
He also made our intro and outro.
I made the intro. He definitely made the outro.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So if you see Big Slammer sometime, just say, hey, good job.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for All Gas No Brakes. I'm Big Nelly, a.k.a. Landon Nelson. Big Nelly out.